The kind of man I want my daughters to marry. As wives, we know how important the mate you choose can be. The decision to get married is so great and so monumental that it would be great if one could be mature before they got married. Marriage is not always going to be a bed of roses, and it will not always be easy. This needs to be understood before one ever agrees to get married. There will be challenges, difficulties, arguments, disagreements, struggles. These are not unavoidable, and they should not be expected. They should be expected. We should never take the position that no man is good enough for our daughters. No man is perfect, and everyone needs to grow. But these attributes would be great in any man if he is going to marry my daughters. I want him to be patient like Job. Three things that stand out about Job. Job endured great loss in his life. He lost his children all in one day. He lost his wife's support. And we all know how important that is for any man to have his wife's support. He lost all of his possessions. He lost his health. And he lost his friends. Job did not turn against God during his difficulties. After Job's loss is detailed in chapter 1, the summation is given, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Job 1:22. After much disagreement with his friends and enduring many accusations, Job makes this great statement about God, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, and his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Job 23, verses 10 through 12. Job was committed to his marriage. "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid?" Job 31, verse 1. Job did not allow his troubles to cause him to stray from his marriage. And how often does this happen today? But Job made a decision like Joseph. He wouldn't sin before God. Like Job, I want the man who marries my daughters to be able to endure when hard times come, and they will. The rain will come, the storms will strike, and the wind will blow up on their house. I want him to be able to endure the storms of life, never to blame God for the troubles in his life, and to remain committed to his wife through the hard times of life. I want him, secondly, to have a plan and purpose like Nehemiah. I love Nehemiah. I don't know if y'all do. I love Nehemiah. Nehemiah had a plan to accomplish the building of the walls of Jerusalem. He went to the king and told him what was going on with his city. He went back to Jerusalem, and the city was in shambles. Nehemiah first prayed to God. He surveyed the situation, and he communicated with the people. He led and he joined in the work. The people accomplished the task. Nehemiah persevered until his plan was complete. There were many challenges to Nehemiah's plan. Enemies attacked his character, they lied on him, and they tried to get him to compromise. But he refused and persevered. "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together, until the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Nehemiah 4, verse 6. I want the man who marries my daughters to have a plan and a purpose for life. Every family needs a plan to help them navigate through life. The plan needs to be communicated with the family. I remember our first planning session. We went away for an overnight trip, and Eric revealed his plan for the family. Everyone had a calendar and a pen. And he told us that we were going to plan our entire year. And so each of the girls were, they asked me, they said, well, Mom, what do we do? I said, well, you tell us what you plan to accomplish this year. And so we're going to write it down. We're going to find out how we can accomplish what you want to do. And so we spent an entire day in a planning session. And it went over really well. And I just told him, I said, it's so very important when you get married that you and your husband have a plan for your family. The work needs to be a team effort. When families have a plan, they know what to do and what is required of each member of the family. Thirdly, I want him to have a penitent heart like David. David was the king of Israel. He was the youngest son of Jesse, chosen by God to replace Saul. He was a man after God's own heart. He came from the sheepfolds to reign in Israel. He had everything that a man could want, but David sinned. He lusted after another man's wife. He saw her, sent for her, and slept with her. He tried to hide his sin with her. He sent for her husband, he fed him at his house, and he sent him home to sleep with his wife. But Uriah was faithful to David and would not go into his wife or even sleep in his house. David added sin unto sin and got Uriah drunk and tried again. When all else failed, David had Uriah killed. God saw it all and was displeased with David. And when the morning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased God. 2 Samuel 11, verse 27. God sent the prophet Nathan to confront David. Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man. Thus said the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you out of the hand of Saul. And I gave you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and gave you the house of Israel and of Judah. And if this were too little, I would add to you as much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord to do what is evil in his sight? You have struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword of the Amorites." 2 Samuel 12, verses 7 through 9. David's sin brought him to his lowest point in his life. Psalm 51 is David's heartfelt repentance for his sin. David pled to God for mercy. He admitted his sin and he repented. He was sorry and wanted to return to God. Psalm 51, 1 through 4. Would you ladies turn there? Psalm 51, 1 through 4. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, and thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. I don't want the man who marries my daughters to be sinless. I want him to have a heart that's willing to admit his sin and turn from it like David. For the righteous falls 7 times and rises again, but the wicked stumbles in times of calamity. Proverbs 24, verse 16. Fourthly, I want him to trust God like Caleb. Caleb was a leader in Israel. Numbers 13, verses 1 and 2. Caleb was one of the 12 men in Israel sent to spy out the land of the promised land. But he was one of only 2 who brought back a faithful report. When the 10 spies brought up an evil report, Caleb withstood them and steeled the people. He assured the people they could take the land. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are all well able to overcome it." Numbers 13, verse 30. Caleb pled with the people to remain faithful to God. "If the Lord delight in us, he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Numbers 13, verses 8 and 9. God endorsed Caleb's faithfulness. "But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers. Neither shall any of them that provoke me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it." Numbers 14, 21 through 24. Caleb trusted in God his entire life. When he was old and the land was being divided, because God has promised it, Caleb still believed, though he was 85 years old. Joshua 14, 6 through 13 says, "Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenzite, said to him, 'You know that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea, concerning you and me, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God.' And Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spake the word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now, behold, I am this day 85 years old. I am still as strong as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day how the Anakims were there with great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out, just as the Lord said.' Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance." Caleb trusted in God despite very difficult circumstances. He stood with God even when his fellow leaders didn't. He stood with God and encouraged the people to do the same. He wholly followed the Lord through his entire life. I pray that the man who marries my daughters has such trust in God. Like Caleb, I pray that he will trust in the Lord with all his heart and will never lean on his own understanding. Fifthly, I want him to be meek like Moses. The Bible says, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Numbers 12, verse 3. According to Brown, Driver, and Briggs, the word meek means poor, humble, afflicted, meek, poor, needy, poor and weak, poor, weak and afflicted, humble, lowly, meek. These three things stand out about Moses' meekness. Moses prayed on behalf of Israel. After the spies brought back their evil report and the people revolted against Moses, God said that he would destroy them and start over with Moses and make of him a nation. And Moses prayed to God, Numbers 14, 13 through 20, I'm sorry. But Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for you brought up the people in this might, I'm sorry, for you brought up this people in your might from among them. And they will tell the inhabitants of the land, 'They have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Lord, are seen face to face, and your cloud stands over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now if you kill the people as one man, when the nations who have heard your fame will say, it is because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land that he swore to give them, that he has killed them in the wilderness. And now, please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised. The Lord is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of the people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now.' Then the Lord said, 'I have pardoned according to your word.'" This is not the only time Moses prayed for the people. He also prayed for his own family when they revolted against him. Numbers 12, verse 13. Wives and children don't always follow their husbands and fathers. That might happen with my daughters and their children, but I want them to marry a man who will be meek and pray for them like Moses did. Moses served the people. Moses sought only the good of the people. He was nothing without God, and he understood that. He was like a savior, like our Savior, in that he was a servant. Moses served in delivering them from Egypt. He served in delivering the law. Once, when Joshua was concerned that others were prophesying and might be infringing on Moses' position, Moses said, "And a young man ran and told Moses, 'Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp.' And Joshua the son of Nun, the assistant of Moses from his youth, said, 'My lord Moses, stop them.' But Moses said to him, 'Are you jealous for my sake?' With that, all the Lord's people were prophets, that the Lord would put his spirit on them." Numbers 11, 27 through 29. Moses was meek enough to receive instruction. Moses served the people by hearing their causes from sunup to sundown. When Jethro saw what Moses did, he told Moses, "The thing you do is not good." Exodus 18, verse 17. Instead of boasting of his position or dismissing his father-in-law for intruding into his business, Moses listened to Jethro's counsel and got help in hearing the people's causes. Exodus 18, verse 24 says, "So Moses listened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said." I hope this man who marries my daughters is a meek man. Meek does not mean weak. Rather, he needs strength under control. Moses was the meekest man on earth. He prayed on behalf of those who would not follow him. He served the people, putting their interests above his own. He was meek enough to know he didn't know anything. And his father-in-law he didn't know everything. And his father-in-law instructed him, and he listened. May the man who marries my daughters be such a man. There is someone good enough for my daughters. He does not have to be perfect. No man is. However, I am praying for a particular kind of man. My desire is not based on social standings, economic status, educational level, or ethnicity. It is based on spiritual character. I pray that the men are patient like Job when hard times come. He will not cut out and run. He will endure. Plans like Nehemiah. Directing a family is hard. He needs a plan for how they will get to heaven. Penitent like David. All will sin. Sinning is a problem. Repentance is the solution. If he should fall, I pray that he will get up and return to God like David. Wholly follow the Lord like Caleb. No matter what or who says otherwise, I pray that he will never waver from his commitment to the Lord. He would be meek like Moses, a servant who considers his family above himself, who prays for them and with them. A man strong enough to lead, but meek enough to heed wise counsel. All of these men possess qualities are ultimately expressed in our Lord and Savior. I pray that men who will marry my daughters love the Lord, follow the Lord, and leads his family to do the same. I want the man to help her and her children get to heaven. Thank you.